Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of Two Brits in America, our favorite podcast that's getting listeners from all over the world, growing every single day. So we appreciate you listening to us. So myself, coming from Panama City Beach, Florida, and my friend
Malcolm Teasdale from Destin, Florida. Glad you said Panama City, Florida, not Panama City, Panama.
Not that I know people, even if I say Panama City Beach, they think I live in Panama. They're like, why do you live in Panama? I'm like, I don't live in Panama.
Confusing, isn't it?
You've got to complete sentences, Francis, as Denise keeps reminding me. So, yes.
Oh, right. Hey, good. So, hey, I'm back in town. I'm knackered, as we say in England. Just tired out, that means. And jet lagged to death. But I'll get through this. 30
you
minutes.
You don't look it. You look really well.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd probably go to Denise and say, look, Malcolm looks absolutely tired out. He shouldn't be doing this. Yeah,
well, right. You can't be judged by our audience because this is a podcast, not a
video.
Right.
I'm drinking lots of English breakfast tea today. That's what I'm at.
Is that a pint of beer you got in your head? No, just kidding. No, he's not got a pint of beer, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, hey, boy.
Hey, listen, before you tell us about your travels, because I think that's really exciting, because this is kind of related. Firstly, yet again, I probably had a brain fart the last podcast, or when it was you or me, or probably me. I had the most brain farts. And I didn't want to upset our German or French listeners. Because, you know, we were just talking about currencies. And, you know, I remember we were talking about all the coins in our jars that we seem to collect and currencies that are worthless today. And so for some reason, somebody pointed out that I said that that Germany has francs instead of the Deutschmark. Pretty bloody obvious, really. But it's just a brain fart. I'm old. Look, forgive me. I might have fraudulent slips, but that's okay, isn't it?
Nah, that's all right. Frankly, yes, it's all right.
All right. So we just put that down as brain farts. So, I mean, you listen, if any of our listeners spot these again, go through the whole podcast, write down the number of brain farts, email us, and we'll make the apology right at the beginning. Well, maybe not. No, it's insults just intended.
Just human behavior. We all make mistakes.
So listen, I made another, well, it's not really a mistake. So I wished everybody on my connected network, I have a big network of people that for some reason follow me on LinkedIn and connect with me. So that's really good. Lots of people out there. But I wished everybody happy Pi Day because it was Pi Day this week. And nobody in the UK came back to me. All my US friends were like, yeah, happy Pi Day, happy Pi Day. And it's like, and I'm thinking about it. And then it clicked. They don't have Pi Day. Because they don't have the date that reads 3/14, right? 14th of March. In England, they do say 14/3. So there is no 3.14 in England. So happy Pi Day to everybody that uses the Americanisms of the time date representation. And to everybody else, you missed out on a good Pi Day.
Okay. And this has nothing to do with 3.1427 pi. This is, you know, like steak and kidney pie.
It is on the 14th of March in America, 3.14. You just wish people happy Pi Day because the date represents pi. I mean, listen, it's only to two decimal points.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, I also read something because I know you went in that direction anyway, but there's a guy that apparently has memorized pi to 100,000 plus decimal, not decimal places. I think he's met, 100,000 decimal places. He's memorized it all the way through. Hell, freaking hell, I don't even know what the second or third one is.
He needs to probably get out more, get another
interest. Get a life.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Benjamin lying on his deathbed thinking about that.
So much stuff, right, in architecture and science. And it's like, it's an important day. So no, but listen, there should be a Pi Day. Maybe what we do is we take what would be the equivalent. It's still the 3rd of March. It's just not, 3.14. In England, we try to convince them to have Pi Day. But isn't it Pi Day in England every day? Steak and kidney pie.
Of course it is.
Shepherd's pie, cottage pie.
Yeah, exactly. You put anything in a pie.
Anyway, sorry to my British friends. You didn't have a clue what I was talking about. Now you do.
Okay, there you go.
And sorry to our German friends. You have Deutschmark, or you had Deutschmarks. Now you have the euro. Sorry to my French friends.
Okay, good. All right,
man. All right, now we got all that out of the way. You traveled, didn't you, mate?
Yeah, I did. I've been away for a month. But, when I left here, I went through Atlanta, got the long flight to Manila, which is the most congested city on the planet, population-wise, 110,000 people per square mile. It's unbelievable.
But I found a place to stay.
I was just there for rest in one of the suburbs before going to Hong Kong to get on a cruise ship. Hong Kong is full of Brits. Even today, you know, it used to be under the British ownership. Well, not ownership. They leased it from China, and they handed it back in 1997. But there's still a ton of Brits there. When I was staying, just down the road was the Queen Victoria pub. It was a Sunday. I thought, you know, I'll just go down, have a pie and chips. And the place was bonkers. They were full of Brits and Asians having a big party. It was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. I grabbed a beer and had to stand out on the street. You know, it was that bonkers, you know. 50 yards down the street was Churchill's pub. It's full of pubs, but it's full of Brits. Amazing. So anyway.
I think I've been to Hong Kong twice. I think I went just after, the handover, and
Yeah.
of course I didn't notice any difference. Did you see any difference? Was there anything noticeable?
Yeah, it's very vibrant. But one thing that came to mind, I had to go on a cruise ship because I was doing some lecturing on a cruise ship, and I was thinking, wait a minute, when I give statistics about stuff, you know, in measurements or what it could be, I'm thinking, wait a minute, should I be talking imperial or metric? So I did a quick study on this, and it's surprising, especially to our American audience. America still works on the imperial system, right?
Yes.
Britain uses both, by the way. That's
We
weird
do
there.
use bits of the metric system, but it's kind of normally when something's been brought over from
Yeah, that's
overseas
right.
from Europe. Yeah.
But America still uses the imperial system. There's only two other countries in the world that use it. You won't believe who they are.
Go on.
Liberia and Myanmar. See? I was gobsmacked, but then I had to train my brain to start talking in kilometers and not miles, you know, because it's a different audience. So now is it mean maybe I'm bilingual? I can talk metric and anyway, I don't know, but anyways, we went down the coastline of Vietnam. I saw one of the Mother Nature's wonders there, Hai Long Bay, and went through into Thailand, and I got off the ship in Singapore and then flew straight up to Bhutan. When I first mentioned to someone I'm going to Bhutan, they said, "What is that?" I said, "It's a country in the Himalayas." But 9 years ago, I trekked to the top of Tiger's Nest Monastery. I decided to do it again because I'm sort of weird that way. I have to do these things which are physically challenging. But I made it. I didn't pass out. I'm still alive today, which is good. Then basically came back through Chiang Mai, Chiang Rai, Thailand, and flew back. So here I am, back a month later. I'm still alive. That's the main thing. What do I do next? So that's pretty much in a nutshell. And, you know.
You got back yesterday, and here you are, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I can tell, because I can see you, and we're doing our podcast, so it's great. So
Exactly.
we
Something
miss
that,
you for a couple of weeks. We managed to get one
there
out
you
before
go.
you went, but you were obviously silent. We chatted a bit while you were away, so I think that was really cool. But you say about that, about the metric system. So you're just going to say, so it's kind of not quite true, is it? Because in England, it's still miles per hour, but then and of course we drive on the other side of the road. So, that's got nothing to do with the metric system, but it's relevant because if there was a bridge between us and France, as opposed to just a ferry or a train to take your car on, you literally, how would they do the bridge that just drops you switch to the other side of the road? And you have to remember your kilometers, right? So over in America, of course, you say it's imperial, but England, I mean, people, especially the older generation, includes me, fought for ever to try to keep the imperial system, until we joined the EU, you could have a pound of bananas. But then apparently they started fining shops for selling bananas by the pound. You could only buy them by the kilo, and if you dare sell them by the pound, it was like it was sacrilege. And but now we're out of the European Union, or the EU, I should say. I think I don't know. Are they going to go back? Have you? I think so. It
I
doesn't
know.
matter anymore,
As
does
of
it?
today, though, Francis, the UK is the only country in the world that uses a combination of each system. That's
Yeah,
all I
yeah,
can
yeah.
tell you. It is weird, but that's just a
Well, and
British
I grew
thing.
up like you with Fahrenheit, but of course everybody over there just knows centigrade now. They just learned it. But because us living in America, we literally have to kind of flick on a dime, don't we? My car, I do sometimes when I know that I'm getting ready to go to England, I switch it to centigrade just to remind me the differences and to get my calculator in my head back out again, because there's many ways to calculate the difference and it's not double. But it's kind of a convoluted calculation, which leads me on to another subject. And I don't, you do know this, right? And I've had conversations over the years with friends at school, and we have fun, especially over a few drinks. But the difference between math and maths in England, We say maths. We have a maths lesson. We take maths.
Yeah.
But over here, it's math. However, back to the herb, why do we drop the H when it is got a H in it, or H, as we say in some cases in England? But they literally say math. And so I had a conversation with one of our AI friends, and I said, well, you know, and obviously it's not an error. I mean, I think grammatically it's an error to say math. You don't go to school to just learn addition, and then, you know, that's one math. Yeah. And then you go and learn, you know, subtraction, another math. Right, it's a subject of maths, but apparently it's like you it's not wrong. Of course, it's not wrong. I mean, you know, it's a typical British maths. We're taking a maths lesson, but it was Americans that picked me up on saying maths. And I said, no, it is maths, and then no, it's math. And so we had this argument, and so we looked it up. Both are obviously right grammatically. I would argue math is wrong, but it's not wrong because it's dialect. It's more, you know, just a,
yeah. Well, it's mathematics. It yeah, I know. Yeah.
Semantics, grammatics, whatever. But it's relevant to math, high day, right? So it's all, Jesus, we're really good at bringing this back around to itself. Oh, so we got to the imperial, we got to centigrade and Fahrenheit, and we got to pi day back to math. I mean, we're really good at this.
Yeah. I got to bring this up, Francis, because you mentioned this a few weeks ago, about what, when you go to a hotel, what floor you're on, and we talked about ground floor, first floor, right? And This happened when I was in Thailand in Chiang Rai for a few nights. It's quite a big hotel. I was trying to figure out where I was. And I was on the second floor. I was on the second floor, says number two there. So I asked one of the guys who worked there, I said, what floor is the restaurant on? He said, the first floor, and pointed up, which effectively was on the third floor, but he said the first floor. Now I thought again, I've give up on this theory about what is right now. It's just that
hang on, was he just wrong? Was he just like, or did he just mean one floor above? Was it an English interpretation?
The first floor. You mean the first floor above here? Because he's first floor.
Did they have? Most countries have ground floor. It's just the US that doesn't have ground floor, right?
Well, over there they had. There was labeled 1, 2, 3 floor.
But you have a ground floor, and the ground floor is the ground floor, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So on, you know, we're talking about miles and kilometers, but miles. So something struck me when I was driving back to Florida. And there's a big thing going on at the moment for our British listeners. They know it's quite a debacle, but it had to be done apparently. So they've shut down six miles of the major freeway that surrounds London, which is the M25. And we've had that discussion about which way around you go, clockwise, anti-clockwise, and all that. But the point of this is, so they shut it down and they have a diversion going through all these tiny villages. So a major motorway that's going to be shut for the weekend. And by the way, you please don't drive. Of course, everybody does. And you have to go through all these villages. There's immediately, before it even got going, as a 5-hour delay or something to go 6 miles. Right, I would just give up, turn around, and go home if it was me. I don't care where I was, unless I was going to a hospital. But when I was driving to Florida the other day, this is such a difference between the size of our countries, right? So It said roadworks for the next 60 miles. Seriously, I mean, I'm like, and it reminded me. I've seen that a few times now. Obviously, living here, we don't do anything by halves in America. We've got the Brits beat here. Right, there's none of this 6 mile roadwork. Now, to be honest, a bit like England, you can drive through the roadworks and not see a single worker. But I don't know if it's like they still do it in stages, but they say be prepared for roadworks for the next 60 miles. And the next sign is speeding fines will be increased when workers present. So I think it's just a tax. Right? Let's put the sign for as long as we can. It even crosses two states. It's like, it's nuts. Have you ever seen? You must have come across it.
Yeah, I've come across that a few times. And you're lucky if you haven't seen anybody working. But yeah, I know.
So for our American friends that have never driven across America, just know that you're 6 miles of roadworks. Well, it's mostly three, right? That's what they do, is 3 miles. And that 3 miles of roadworks, everybody moans about. But just be prepared to hit a sign in America that says the next 60 miles of roadworks ahead.
That's amazing.
You just can't wait for the end one. And actually, in the early days, we used to drive down with the kids were younger down to Orlando from Atlanta. And it really was 60 miles of roadworks, man. It was hell on earth.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? You can imagine if that happened in England, 60, might as well just close the country down. People just stay at home.
Well, go look at the news today on the M25. It's like a touch of difference.
I can't imagine.
Miles, six, Hold on, I've just realized maybe America sneakily put 60 miles because that's about 100 kilometers. So maybe we should jump out of the car and just put 100 kilometers in there just to wind them up even more.
Oh, God.
Oh, and then you had something you was going to talk about because we didn't really talk about this, the whole driving on the left thing, right? We talk
Yeah,
about that.
it's a big surprise at that because driving on the left, so many countries do it. You know, like in Hong Kong, they drive on the left, but in China, they've just changed to right side driving in 1974. But the most populous country on the planet, India, they drive on the left. Thailand drives, many countries drive on the left even today. And it's quite surprising, you know, whether anyone will change. But you know, when I was in Hong Kong, it's grossly expensive there, but it's the cheapest cab fare I've ever paid. I've never paid $1.50 for a taxi ride, but I did in Hong Kong.
It's
Can you believe that?
actually weird. We went to China once, and my son, who was studying there at the time, and he learned Mandarin, so you know, and he wouldn't say Buddha, a ghost, my son, but we gets in the cab with him from the airport. He picks us up at the airport in a cab, and we go, and he starts arguing with the driver, and I'm like, oh, something's going kicking off here, right? I'm like, what's going on? And he just sounded aggressive. He's in his lang in the Mandarin, right? And then the other guys was whatever, and I said, what's up, Gavin? He goes, well, they're trying to overcharge us. I'm like, yeah, but by how much? He goes, $1. I'm like, really? And he wasn't angry. Of course, that is the way the communication is. Just it just sounds aggressive. It's
Yeah,
not aggressive.
I
You
don't know, but
stand your
I'm always
point.
paranoid about taxi drivers because I always think they take the long way to get from point A to point B.
That's
You
all that
know.
was happening. And because Gavin knew the way, he's like, no, you want to go this way. And he's just like, it's like, well, that is, bless his heart. I mean, let him
I
do.
know, but it's just trying to do the right thing. You know, here's some quirky thing as well. Singapore. And
I love Singapore. That is like a little England, really, isn't it? We've just
well,
recruited.
it's a city state, but it's now the most expensive city on the planet. But what this it really is bizarre is before you can even own a car in Singapore, you have to hand over to the government US$76,000 for a certificate to be able to buy a car.
There's just not much room, though, to be fair. It's
Well, I know
almost
that's up to
worse than
1600
land grab.
cc. That's a small car. If you want something bigger, you want an SUV, you have to give the government US$106,000 before you are able to even go out looking to buy a car.
Yeah, but you listen, a car takes up space, and there's so little space in Singapore, right? That you're talking about a car taking up some square footage that's going to cost.
Well, I get that, but the public transport system there is superb, but
Yeah,
but I don't
you
know.
don't need a
It's
car.
just one of these bizarre things that I've never heard of anywhere
It's a
else on
lot
the
of money,
planet.
isn't it? I don't care where you're from. I mean, we always moan about the taxes that we have to pay, you know, for putting our cars on the road, MOT in England. Hey, they don't, that's something, because you listen, you're brilliant at doing this, leading. They don't have MOTs in America, do they?
No.
In England, if you took your car in for an MOT, you know, things like you can't have bald tires, you know, this
Exactly.
can't be
I
falling
check the
off. It
brakes.
must.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, because the fenders, right? You know, the bumper and the what do you call the back? Anyway, the bumpers and the fenders and all that, they have to be in good shape for you to pass an MOT, because actually, if you hit somebody, it's safe, right? So over here, but over here, you can have a car, bald tires, even some people riding on one of the tires or one of those,
Yeah.
you know, the one that's only supposed to be the spare that lasts 50 miles. They're riding on those. They've got no bumper, no fenders at all. They've got no lights. They've got the white lights showing out the brake lights. But it's on the road. Now they can get fined, sure, by the cops, but there's no concept of an MOT for your
Well,
car.
I bet you. Do you know who's responsible for that?
Go on.
The ambulance chasing lawyers. Like, if they did that, there'd be less accidents, less causes for a lawsuit. Just
Well, that's
saying, it
true.
could be. I don't
Yeah.
know. What's
But you
MOT
know,
stand for, though?
but we need, listen, I need to stand on a pedestal here. The amount of money that goes into, I've seen the poor crash dummies, right? We've seen the adverts where the poor old crash dummies have to go through walls and things like that and pillars and stuff. But they put so much money into research into the fenders. The fenders themselves can absorb impact. They can protect pedestrians when you get hit, all that, right? And over here, it means nothing, because if it falls off, people don't put them back. I mean, admittedly, it's expensive to put a fender back. I don't know why it's as bloody expensive. Why is it $2,000 to replace your fender? Back when we were driving, when I was 17, I mean, you literally go to a scrapyard and bolt a new one on. It was
Exactly.
just
Yeah. There's lots of those scrapyards around. I don't know.
Yeah, but all that money that goes into this for good reason, and then it's like, well, no. And so you buy a brand new car with a really safe fender, and then it's, you know, 10 years later, that car's fender's fallen off. Anyway, that's another thing for another day. So we got the roadworks. The other thing on that road thing, and I think it's one of the things I've noticed in America, and I think this happens all over the world. It certainly happens in England, because this is what pisses off us as drivers, right? When people drive too close to you from behind.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate whether it's a truck, a lorry, as we talked about last week, or if it's another car or anything, right? They get so close. And I realize that comes back a lot to testing as well. The tests over here are not very good. What you have to do to pass a test in this country is just nuts. Our youngsters need to go through more of this. And so they get on the freeway, on motorway, and they get really close to you. And in England, they started a thing probably 20, 30 years ago to put chevrons. Actually, they painted chevrons on the motorway. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Where you would be driving along and it would warn you to say, look, safe distance to drive is 2 chevrons apart. So make sure the car in front, when it hits a chevron, you have 2 chevrons in visual view before you could. And if you can see only 1 chevron, you're too close to the car in front. And this is all to do with there might be ice on the road, rain on the road, oil on the road, whatever. Yeah. So it's common sense.
The common sense approach, yeah.
What we're taught. But over here, if you leave a gap, of course, everybody fills the gap in and they undertake and they pull in. Undertaking isn't really legal in other countries, whereas here it is. And so that's quite scary. And so I would promote the idea of us going to put chevrons on the freeways just to help to educate people that this is safe distancing. And that might
this has nothing to do with Chevron, the oil company, right?
No. This is a chevron, as in this, you know, basically, it's a triangle without the bottom painted in.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a chevron. Look it up. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so that's we covered off Imperial Metric. We didn't get all the Imperial Metric out of the way because there's a load of other nuances that come with that. But that does tie back to Pi Day and math and maths. So really, we did, like I said, brought that back full circle. I think the and maybe we can talk about this on another topic, but I think in future, one of the things I love about America is the tools and technologies we have in the kitchen, right? We, you know, and I remember when we were first introduced to the American size washing machines and tumble dryers, and we actually lived in England and we bought them. We bought an American size refrigerator, fridge, and we bought the tumble dryer, well, you'll say dryer and washing machine. And literally you could do a wash, your whole British wash in a day or in one or two washes, your whole family wash in one or two. In England, like, I think it's a maximum, because they're so small, houses are smaller, so I guess it's true all over the world. But you end up doing washing all week, especially if you've got like a family of 4 or 5 or 6.
It's a continuous process, yeah.
It's tiny. You know what? I have a fish tank that's bigger than the washing machines. You put the fish in the washing machine. And the tumble dryer is pathetic because it could be in there for 3 or 4 hours still going around and it's not dry. Literally, you can do it. I don't know. I think it must save money having, you know, bigger is better. But that I think, I just can't, you know, and I do the washing. I do my share of the washing in the house, and rightly so. And but it's just, you can put in like 15 towels and 7 pairs of jeans in one wash, chuck them in the tumble dryer, and it's all done in an hour and a half, 2 hours total. In England, it's a day and 14 washes.
Labor intensive, man. Yeah, you could wear the same clothes, eh?
But it's not a metric thing. It just goes back to what you were saying about Singapore and even to some degrees Hong Kong, right? It's the size. The size of the country will dictate it. I mean, we all know England will fit into the size of Florida, and that doesn't include where we live out on the west side. And so when you look at, you know, road journeys, you know, road works taking 60 miles, washing machines being bigger, cars being bigger, and everybody says everything's bigger in America, everything's bigger in Texas, steaks are bigger in Texas. But the point is, it's you've got to put it into perspective, right? It is a tiny place on Earth. It's tucked away. What is it? You're never more than 60 miles or something from the ocean in a seaside in England. Whereas in America, you could be like 10 lengths of England.
Well, there's probably people in America who've never seen the ocean. You know, just That's it. I mean,
chipped on telly.
Yeah, there's people all over the world who just they're born and raised in a place and they stay there all their lives. You know, they don't get that much.
I know.
It's not that rare.
Yeah, don't have a passport or whatever. And I think the thing is, in England, the weather's so shit most of the time. Not all right. Put that into perspective. It can be shit, right? The weather in England. It can be really nice sometimes as well. But then, of course, when it's really nice, you don't have air conditioning and everybody's moaning it's too hot. Mm-hmm. And everybody moans there's too much rain. There isn't a lot of rain. It's just drizzle a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
But you do have that variation in America. You literally can get in your car and drive 500 miles with 60 miles.
I know. That summer in England, it fell on a Saturday last year.
No, but it's a beautiful countryside and all that. And each their own, where you grow up. And I think that's what makes the world tick. I always say this to everybody, you know, thank the Lord we are all different. And that really the theme of our podcast is I say, thank the Lord that we are all different, whether believing God or not. So thank the Lord that we are all different. It's a phrase of endearment, because if we're all the same, life would be bloody boring.
It would be. I just got to put this in, since you mentioned that, Francis, when I was in northern Thailand in Chiang Rai, I decided to hike up to the hillsides and meet some with the hill tribes while I was up there. They've lived there all their lives that way as part of their ancestry. But these are the long-necked people with these metal things around their necks.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite bizarre. But they're happy. That's the way they live their life. And it was difficult to communicate with them, but, you know, I've got some great pictures of that. And it just helps me. It's all very educational. It just helps me better understand how the rest of the world lives and works. I think that's really important for everyone to do.
People can keep themselves to themselves, or if they want to share their worldly knowledge, that's great too. And I think, yeah. So listen, that is the point of our podcast. I know we've got to run because you're off to do another trip getting out of Florida in the next few days. So we'll probably end it here. I've got another good set of topics for us. Keep the topics coming. You're doing great, people, and to all of our listeners.
Yeah, thanks for all the feedback, folks. And anyway, Francis, we'll be in touch soon, and we'll get on with the next one in a few days.
Brilliant. Listen, safe travels. I know you're traveling again, as I said. And goodbye to all of our listeners. We'll see you on the next episode of Two Brits in America.
See you later.